Well, let's continue our study of biblical masculinity as we follow along, chiefly from the book by Phillips called The Masculine Mandate. But it made me think of a song this week as we're talking about the astonishing design that God has put together for marriage. It made me think of this song. By Percy Sledge. Powerful lyrics in that song. Can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'd trade the world for the good thing he's found. If she's bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong. So the fact of this man sacrificing it all. Well, as we're looking at this study here, we see that we've been, as men, we've been designed incomplete. Looking at Genesis 2, beginning at verse 19, he says here, "Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he could call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him." So we see that Adam names all these animals, and then it occurs to him, boy, there's for every male, there seems to be a suitable companion for each of these animals, and he does not have this helper right for him. So We have an understanding as we look at that God made him designed him incomplete at this point so that he would see the difference. And that would mean, if we're looking at this right, that dog can never truly be man's best friend because he does not complete a man. And so a man, as Philip is pointing, should find a wife. It's God's provision to prevent lust and to help complete the man in the state of that not good singleness. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7:1 as it helps prevent lust. And then just having this woman alongside a man is a good thing. It's not good for him to be alone. And so this helper is suitable yet different. There's a Greek word, kanegdo, and it means in front of or across from. A woman corresponds to a man not as a mere image, but as a puzzle piece that clicks. I like that. And so he goes on and he talks about how does God take care of this situation, beginning at verse 21 of Genesis 2. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And so we see that God takes care of this by providing a helper that is suitable. Yet this individual is different. And so there's a wonder there, and there's a challenge. Finally, from that Genesis 2 passage there, he says, it's the New Living Translation, "At last the man exclaimed, 'This one is bone for my bone and flesh for my flesh.'" And so Phillips writes this. He says, "To be sure, the differences between men and women, which are fundamental and unchangeable because of God's creation, are such that a man will never really figure out his wife." And that's the beauty of it, is that we can never settle in to a point of not pursuing, not desiring to understand her better. Love is not meant to be easy. We see that from the four different words for love. We've got storge, these are the Greek words there, which is a familial love, a family love. And then we see eros, which is sexual love. We see philos, we get the word Philadelphia from that. It's the idea of to like. And then agape, and that's the love that God has for us. That's that unselfish, servant-like love. And that's the calling that God has. All four of these are in a relationship with our wife, but he calls us to love her in that unselfish way. And so how to love? Well, look at 24 and 25 of Genesis 2. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So Phillips wraps this all up by saying, we are called to find our satisfaction in working and keeping, most often having married and bonded to a woman God has given us as a suitable helper. And because God is good, he has made woman so that she finds much of her own fulfillment in being that helper. So how are we doing? When a man loves a woman, He works at it. He keeps it. He desires to be the man that God has called him to be. That's a real man.